I'm going to start with a reading. We're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 24. I'm just going to read a small section. The title of this whole section is called, Jesus Has Risen. You know it.
Amen.
Mary Beth was right on top of that one there. She's the first one. She gets the little gold star for the day. And it goes like this. He says, on the first day of the week. So does anybody know what the first day of the week is in the Jewish calendar?
Sunday.
Right? So Saturday is the Sabbath. And it's always been the Sabbath. But the first day of the week is Sunday. So this is Sunday morning. Right? Very early in the morning. What time is it? Very early in the morning. Right? Right? And it says, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. I just want to talk a little bit about this. And it was part of the Jewish custom to be able to go in and to put some of these spices and aromas and whatever else that they put around the body. And the idea behind that is to, it's not so much make the passing of that individual better. It's to make the event just more fragrant and beautiful, you know, all together. But we do that on our own as well. I mean, it's like when sometimes when we have a funeral service and there's a casket that's over, you know, in the graveyard and stuff. Many times we'll put a rose or a flower on top of the casket. It's the same type of attitude that we're doing here. Or if there's a huge, something happens tragically within a village and stuff, there'll be a spot where people will bring flowers, cards, and candles, and they'll lay those all by, you know, some particular place. And there's a tribute that goes to it. So these women are putting a tribute to the death of Christ. They have no recollection at all about Christ rising. And it seems crazy that they do, that they have no clue of that, because the whole idea is that that's what they're going to do, is to help, again, prepare that body. Now, why would they be going to it other than just, you know, showing their respect for it? But think about the time where Christ died. It was right before the Passover, right? They broke the bones of all those others being crucified so that they died quickly so they can get them off the cross and get onto their Passover feast. They didn't really have time to do all the ceremonial things that they normally would have done. And the whole Passover, with Jewish law and everything, would restrict them from being able to be unclean by touching or being around a dead body. So they had to put all that off. So you imagine in the time from when Christ died, all through Passover, and thinking that's a great celebration of what, how God's infusion of the Israelites to free them from the Egyptian slavery, and how it's such it's probably one of the greatest ceremonial things that the Israelites did, and the happiest moment that they would have had. But during that time, all those Christ believers are probably thinking about Christ being dead. And we know last Sunday we left and it wasn't really a very pleasant message and everything. This is still in the hearts of these women that have come to see Christ. And it says here that they found the tomb open and empty. All right, so we've got the women at this open tomb, right? And then they look in and they just see that they didn't find the body of the Lord. It said, while they were wondering about this, we don't know how long it was, but here the women are just talking with one another. And they're questioning what could possibly have happened. I suppose we would do that same thing. Sometimes you're thinking that, you know, someone would have taken the body of Christ and removed it, discarded it, or stolen it. You know, who knows what, you know, the minds of people would be doing. But then, it says in Scripture, suddenly two men in clothes, that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Now, has anybody ever seen a lightning storm before? Of course, probably everybody has. Mm-hmm. You know, especially the ones at night. And you're just like looking out. Our house, we have this little front porch, what we call the front porch, and some glasses over there. We can kind of look over the valley and stuff like that. When you're looking over the valley, you're looking towards the west. And generally, most of the storms come in from the west. So they come over that little bit of a knoll into the valley. And it seems like once the valley starts, that's when, and when the storm gets in there, that when the lightning storms come, you can just watch the whole item that's in there. There was one time when the kids were small that we had absolutely no rain, but a lot of lightning, and I had a camera that I put it on like a long-term exposure, and I got some awesome lightning strikes and stuff like that. And it's really cool to be able to see that, because when I got my pictures back, the whole valley, though it was completely dark, when that lightning went off, the whole valley was completely lit like it was daylight for that moment that was there. So all my camera flashes came back like lightning during the day. That was a really a big shock to me to be able to get that sort of thing. So think about that. And the other thing is, when you watch lightning, just with your own eyes, and you're looking out and the lightning hits, you know, just blasts like that, everything becomes completely dark afterwards, doesn't it? Because of the brightness that's there that you can't even look at. Or you wake up in the morning and it's like the sun is shining on you and you're like, oh, man, don't let that happen, because your pupils are really big and it's like it's letting all that light in. I squint all the time anyhow with the lighting. But think of the radiance that these angels shone with. Now, when Gabriel spoke to Mary, when angels appeared to other individuals within Scripture, never speaks about their radiance. There is something aglow about these angels, and somehow it might just be the message that just couldn't contain the light that was inside of them. And it just came out as bright as lightning. So hard that you could hardly even look at it. Think about how the tomb, which is normally a dark place, is now all lit up brighter than what's outside because it's so early in the morning. Right? And it would still be dark inside just because of the shading and stuff that would all be along there. So these women were contemplating before that the body of Jesus wasn't there. I think their minds have switched now to, why are these two people that weren't there earlier all of a sudden there now, shining like lightning? It's that in their fright, right? And I suppose just the radiance and the essence of the holiness of God and the purity that's there is more of what the fright was. And maybe it's just not knowing who they are. But they bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" These are the first words that come out. What are you looking for? Someone that's alive in a dead place. Don't you know? Does anybody ever said something to you sometimes where all of a sudden it makes you think in a different fashion? And it's not only that, it's at that moment that you think differently, but really for the rest of your life you start to think a little bit differently because of one comment that somebody makes and how, I don't know, how wrong sometimes you might be only because you've always thought this particular way. But when someone challenges you to know what you ought to know and you don't know it, there's a humbleness that comes to that. And then you start, your outlook in life starts to look differently. Just by some basic words, why do you look for the living in a place of the dead? And can you imagine the mind spinning of those women that were there? What are these two angelic beings trying to tell me right now? I'm going to read on a little bit more. I'm at verse 6, if you're there with your Bibles, in chapter 24 of Luke. The angel continues to say, he's not here. He has risen. Think about those words settling in after you've been told that, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Then the angel goes on to proceed to remind them of the things that they've been told while Jesus was around. And he says, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. And this is in red, so this is a quote from Jesus that says, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again. Then they remembered his words. Right? Because we're so focused sometimes on the one item that we've got, and that one item is that Jesus has died, and you completely forget about everything else. It consumes you. You know that. You've experienced probably a loss, a great loss, and even time kind of stops. I remember one of our administrators from school had a loss in their family. They were gone for like 2 weeks. And they came back and they said, it was weird. Everybody moved on, but I didn't. You know, you just stop. And I don't say you stop living, but you stop thinking the way, the future that's there. You're so consumed by that one item. And you know what the angels did? They broke that. They broke that being stuck in the mud. And they came up with some glorious news. That Jesus is not dead, but Jesus is risen. That changes the lives of those women that came in. So much so that, and we're going to continue this at our next service at 10 o'clock.